Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Inside. My liver's all twisted up. But you know what I did? I took Deborah, went to the liquor store, I loaded up with alcohol, more specifically vodka, whiskey, beer, tequila, more beer, more vodka, more whiskey, and more beer.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
And we've got a Friday night game. Chiefs at Chargers. This is the Chargers home game, and it's in Brazil. Advantage Chiefs then, because they don't have to go to L.A., I guess.
I mean, don't even know going to L.A.
They don't lose a home game.
It's just not. Yeah, right, but it's not that challenging. I don't think there's that much of an advantage.
They'll have the crowd.
Playing the Chargers somewhere else, because playing in L.A., they would have had half the crowd or more anyway.
They have won their last 11 road games against the Chargers.
I saw from, I think it was Adam Schefter earlier today, Herbert and Mahomes have met 8 times now. And in 7 of those 8, there's been a lead change after the 2-minute warning or in overtime. And the Chiefs are 6-1. In those 7 games. The 7 times that that's happened, the Chiefs have won 6 of the 7.
Right. The Chargers won a Thursday night game, I think it was, a night game at Arrowhead. Mike Williams, I want to say, made the play. That would be the one of those 7. But they're usually great games. I love watching these two teams play. I mean, they've been fun, higher scoring games. Kelce had a monster game that was good for fantasy. Mike, a couple of years ago. I mean, we'll see what he is, right? Like, he's got some hype going right now around. There is some hype around Travis Kelce right now. Like, he's in better shape, you know, more of a commitment this year. We'll see. If that actually bears out, then what a steal he was in your fantasy drafts, Kelce, because, like, he was tight end 7 or something.
Yeah, there. Right.
He was going after Tyler Warren for much of the summer, the Colts rookie, who I like too. But, I mean, Kelce is always like a first, second round pick, depending on format. And then we sort of got, not bored, but he's done, and maybe he's not. I'm sure we're all hoping that he is. This is
definitely are hoping that he is. I am, anyways. Yeah.
When you watch the game tonight, you'll notice that each end zone is painted for one of the two teams. So even though it's a Chargers home game, one of the end zones is the Chiefs' yellow Chiefs end zone. And the league said that this is what they'll be doing going forward in all the international games.
Okay.
Because, you know, you watch a game in London and it's the Vikings and the Browns and one is the home team. Like, it's sort of their, and it's all right, corner, right. Like, they're the ribbon board. They're the, they make an effort for that team to be the home team, but maybe they're going to do that differently, or maybe it'll just be the end zones. But since 2017, it's always been one team, except in the Super Bowl. On a neutral site. All the other international games had one team represented in both end zones. That changes tonight.
You got a minute here before we get to picks. I don't know how much time you need for picks. But I just want to mention something. I promise this will not leave us off in an awkward spot. But high school football season is cranking up here. There's a slate of games tonight. And I was at a funeral yesterday for a high school friend of mine's dad, who Paul Gagliardi. 50 years, Section 6 official, football and basketball.
Awesome.
You should have seen the church. You've never seen so many football-looking guys like my age or older in your life. But what a 50 years. He's going into the Section 6 Athletic Hall of Fame, posthumously now, because he passed away at the end of August. But what a scene. I just wanted to mention his name, because a lot of people that are going to high school football right now,
yep,
definitely know the name, heard the name, shared fields with him. So, you know, Godspeed, Mr. Gagliardi.
Grand Island's home tonight. I know that. Let's get to picks.
What if I did do it? Even though I admit to nothing and never will. What does that make me? And I'm not here just defending myself, but all those pickers out there who've been caught. Each and every one of them. Who has to suffer the shame and humiliation because of people like you.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Are we not human? If we pick, do we not bleed?
On WGR.
I am not an animal.
Sports Radio 550.
I'm embarrassed that yesterday I even called into question the results of last year's picks contest because it was not particularly close. I think you won by 6 games or 5.5, whatever. You comfortably won.
Yes.
And I didn't remember at all. I just never remember anymore. So, I mean, kudos to you. Great job.
Oh, I deserve it. I deserve that compliment. So here we go. A new season actually started last night. We both were on Dallas +8.5, whatever it was last night, and that worked. So 1-0. Shall I?
You should.
Just because of last year, I don't know.
Yeah,
if that matters,
this carries over. Yeah, this is like whatever. We're going to a playoff in a golf match. You won the last hole.
Okay, I have the tee. Yeah. I mean, just the usual week one disclaimer. Who knows about any of this? Right? I know in Survivor, and I don't know what you'll do with this game, if anything, but everybody seems to like Denver. Denver is a pretty big favorite, and I'm doing a Survivor entry with Trista Crick. She's like, oh, Denver. Rookie quarterback at Denver against that defense. The way I am, like, it's a little bit too obvious for me, you know? Like, I just... And there's the game theory part with Survivor, but just, like, I'm not taking Denver. I'm not going to take Tennessee either, but... What do we know what Tennessee is? No. Cam Ward is it's Bo Nix. Like, that's a sure thing. I don't know. Like, I wouldn't want to pick Denver this week. But, you know, you hear people talk, like they talk about the Titans like they know what that's going to be, and you can't. In fact, on Bet Sweats this morning, it's a long way to go on a game I'm not using, but Paul, their producer, brought up that game, and he's like, Bill Callahan, Brian's father, is the offensive line coach for the Titans. And he's coached lots of games over the years in Denver as a head coach of the Raiders. He's like, he'll know what to do with the snap count. They've known about this game for months. I feel like Tennessee might not be bothered by, you know, the noise and the whatever, the atmosphere in Denver.
The lack of talent probably is going to catch up with them, I might expect. But still, okay.
We'll see. Just, we don't know what Ward is.
Right.
Ridley can play. Pollard's good. Who knows? I'm off Denver, but I'm not taking Tennessee either, like a big baby. All right, here's who I do want. A little bit obvious going against sort of my last point, but I'll take Minnesota -1.5 at the Bears. I need the Bears to show me. I mean, they were terrible last year, and they have a new coach, but they have a lot of the same players. Some changes on the lines, but I feel like Minnesota has a great roster. And there's a, you know, second-year quarterback. They're both second-year quarterbacks, I guess, but right. McCarthy didn't play at all. He's had an excellent college career. Kevin O'Connell, I trust that. Brian Flores, I trust that more. So -1.5 in the Monday night game, Vikings on the road. I have talked myself into Pittsburgh winning at the Jets. -2.5 at FanDuel, less than the field goal. Just Pittsburgh's a serious team, and the Jets are not. Like, maybe, who knows? It doesn't have to be right. Aaron Rodgers is old, and people make fun of the Steelers. But one team is serious, the other is not serious. Pittsburgh -2.5. I like that, and Matt Schauff brought this up earlier. It does sound like they want to give it to Jaylen Warren. And Warren is sort of a fantasy darling, but he's never gotten the big workload with Najee Harris there. They do have Caleb Johnson, a rookie, but it sounds like Warren is going to be the leader for the Steelers. Probably not bell cow, but could be a step forward for him. Now I'm going to have some fun. I've liked this game since the schedule came out and spreads came out, and I've talked about it a few times. I'm taking the Giants, +6.5 at Washington. Washington was the kind of team that who knows what Tennessee can be, right? Like, just kind of out of nowhere. Nobody liked Kingsbury. People weren't excited about Dan Quinn, really, kind of a cliche coach. And here's the Heisman winner, and he's amazing. And they go to the NFC Championship. Wow. I want to see, I don't know, I don't want to make a negative point about Washington, because they had a great season and they didn't look like a fluke. The Giants have a lot to work with, and they've been so bad for so many years, mostly. But Russell Wilson, Malik Nabers healthy. I just kind of think maybe there'll be something there. Defensively, they've got studs.
Yeah.
So, a couple of turnovers, start to feel good, new season, 0-0, all that stuff. Tight end Theo Johnson is interesting to me. Late-round fantasy option. There are a lot of those tight ends you could go with there, but I kind of like him. And I'm going to go with the Giants plus 6.5. It's not 7, but I'll do that over the Commanders. I feel like they could win the game. And this one is just for... I'll take the Saints. We don't know anything, right? We don't know anything.
Right.
The Cardinals minus 6.5 on the road. Everybody loves it. New Orleans is going to be the proverbial dumpster fire season. They've put off all these decisions and cap things, and like their reckoning is coming. Maybe it's here. Spencer Rattler. They never lose their openers, the Saints. I mean, it's kind of how we've talked about them for a few years, but they always win week one. At home, 6.5 against a Cardinals team that has a lot to prove. I'll just for fun, I'll take New Orleans. And then I'm not actually going to bet that game. And in college, I think I'm supposed to take Oklahoma. Plus 5.5? Minus 5.5 at home against Michigan. Bet Sweats was making fun of how, like, everybody loves Michigan. And so, you know, Sam, like, anytime it's like that, you go the other way.
All right.
I'll take Oklahoma minus 5.5 at home, and I hate Michigan. So that's easy.
All right. Well, we'll have a little fun here because while I'm going to ride with you on the Giants getting 6.5 at Washington, I am going to take the same 6.5. Well, I'm not going to take it. I'm going to lay it with the Cardinals at the Saints. So that I'll say when you mention the Giants game, I'm like, oh, I don't, you know, week one, I don't want to match games, but the Cardinals Saints will be a nice offset to that because, you know, obviously one of us is going to win it, one of us is going to lose, right? I mean, there can't be a push at 6.5.
Correct.
So we'll have a winner there. So those are two of mine. I will take the Giants. For all the reasons you said, I mean, Abdul Carter, Brian Burns, they've got dudes that can get to the quarterback on that team now. Thibodeau, even he has not really smashed yet, but he's still got this athletic profile that should be exciting and enticing. So I'm into that. So I'll take them and the Cardinals. I don't even know. We drafted Kyler Murray on our fantasy team. I hate the Cardinals. I hate Kyler Murray. So I guess I'm just pushing my chips in on things that are completely contrary to what I believe. So I'll go Arizona, I guess. Are they wearing those Desert Storm uniforms yet? No. Okay, anyway. So those are two of my five. The rest of the NFL picks, I will take the Raiders getting 2.5 at New England. We talked about it very early today. I think maybe with Sam, I don't remember how it came up, but how many good players does New England have exactly?
No, that's his. This is his game.
Okay, I like Drake May. They've got Diggs, their best defensive player, maybe their best player, most important player after May is out in this game. Their corner, outstanding corner, Christian Gonzalez. So I will take the Raiders and cross my fingers, getting 2.5. And the other NFL game, my Falcons. I've got the Cardinals. I'm going to take the Falcons. I have a long history of unreasonable, almost unfounded hatred of the Atlanta Falcons. But I really like Michael Penix Jr. So I'm going to be conflicted about that all year long. They're getting 1.5 hosting Tampa. I think those two teams should duke it out at Carolina. Maybe could sneaky come around the last turn and catch them. I don't know. But I think those two teams will duke it out for the NFC South. And I'll take Atlanta at home getting 1.5
okay
against Tampa. For college, I'm gonna roll tonight. Eastern Washington
at
Boise State.
What?
That just, to me, absolutely screams out as a game that's going to be 70-6. So 29.5 is the line.
31.5.
It's gone to 31.5. Holy cow. I didn't check the college lines. Thank you for checking.
I just wanted to look at it. I'm looking at it now. It's,
yeah.
It also screams picks are back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I love
Eastern Washington.
Love the early... The early season ridiculous spread games. I have.
Do you want to know? A lot of them this week.
Do you want to know what the parlay I've got?
I do.
College football. Let me get it up here.
I think Jim Brinson went to Eastern Washington.
Let's see. Boise minus 29.5. Penn State minus 41.5. Texas minus 36.5. Texas Tech minus 48.5.
You're not including Ohio State and their 55.5 against Grambling?
I mixed in Iowa and Kansas on the money line.
All right.
That's my action for tomorrow.
That parlay sucks.
It's a $10 bet. The buyout right now is $582.
Don't you want to be wrong about any of those games and just sort of root for the underdog because they're playing Texas or they're playing Penn State? And, like, how cool would it be if that they won? Like, the time Appalachian State beat Michigan?
Yeah, okay, that would be awesome. I don't care. I'm probably not going to watch any of these games.
It's the kind of game you go to if it gets if it's close late.
Sure.
Like, that. I want to see if they can actually do it.
Yeah. And, you know, if the bet's tanked already, then I'll have no problem rooting for an underdog. And, you know, it's very possible the bet is tanked by the time the Kansas game is ending. That game's 3 hours later than the rest of them. The rest are all, well, Boise State is tonight, and then the others are all noon kickoffs tomorrow or thereabouts. Yeah, 12:25. Yeah, okay. Anyway, so that's my college action. It has nothing to do with our picks contest, but anyway.
This game on TV tonight?
They're all on TV, Mike.
Fair. Steven Tyler Loop. The Ravens kicker's name is Steven Tyler Loop. That's got to be Steven Tyler.
Oh, yeah. That's an Aerosmith family. No doubt.
I have time to fit this in. Again, it's from that same baseball book. An all-time great baseball player was named for a musician, perhaps like Steven Tyler Loop. And I never knew it because you'd have to know his middle name. He has two, actually. I think it was this player's mom. Ricky Henderson.
Whoa.
Who is he going to have been named for?
Miles Davis.
No, his first name is Ricky.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I didn't.
Like, you could have been Ricky Miles Davis Henderson or something like that?
Yeah.
No, it's not that.
Sorry.
It's a Ricky.
Ricky Nelson?
Yes. Ricky Henderson was named after Ricky Nelson, Garden Party, right? Like, that's what, the 50s?
Yeah, yeah.
He was born on Christmas, maybe in like 59 or late 50s. And his mom named him after Ricky Nelson. Ricky Nelson Henley Henderson is his full name. Was his full name. He's deceased.
All right.
I love the chapter on him by Joe Posnanski. It's about how 33 people didn't vote for him for the Hall of Fame his first year. And he does this whole thing like, all right, I get it. Unanimous has its special, unwritten, you know, status. Only Mariano Rivera has ever been inducted unanimously. Okay, I get it. But he's like, how could you go through life as somebody who didn't vote for Ricky Henderson for the Hall of Fame? And moreover, why would you want to? He's like the most fun player ever. Somebody else said, like Bill James or somebody, he's three Hall of Famers. The stolen bases, the leadoff homers, the runs, the hits. He's the rings. Like he's so many Hall of Famers in one. Why would you want to go through life not voting for him?
Because of what I think he not the first million-dollar baseball player?
Maybe.
Like, I think he represented, there's probably animosity. It became too much about a guy and less about the team and just sort of surly with the media and whatever, but I think there was a time where I did not like Ricky Henderson at all as a player. So much so that a friend for my 30th birthday party made a pinata dressed up like Ricky Henderson.
Wow. He wasn't on the Red Sox then yet.
No. I don't know. I don't know where he was playing at that time, but the pinata's in an A's uniform. But anyway, it's animosity toward, I think, what he represents. And now, you know, of course, he obviously doesn't even tip the radar now as someone that was, you know, maybe perceived that way then. Now, I don't think he'd even get any attention for his personality. The sport is just so different now. But I think there was a time where he was sort of too brash, I think.
Okay, I think you're right. Someone else often described as too brash, Matt Schauff of Draft Sharks. No, that's completely not how Matt is. He joined us earlier to talk about Christian McCaffrey and some of the Bills' weapons going into week one. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, that's next. Football Friday continues. We'll be back in a snap, brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills.